The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Preparing the Ruins, the 2015 Annual Conference Recordings, copyright 2015. If you have purchased this recording, you may make additional copies for use by your school. You may not sell copies of the recording, nor post it on the Internet. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at www.accsedu.org.
Okay, I'm told that I need to use the microphone, so we will do that. Thank you for coming to our session on the CTP, primarily the Comprehensive Testing Program. How many of you are currently using it? And how many of you are possibly interested? Thank you for coming. And I hope that those of you who are already using it, that we can make sense a little bit more of your reports, because that's what we're really going to dive into here today. And then a little history on the ERB, but not much. You're receiving a card when you walk in. The index card is for you to fill out, and we like to keep track of who attends our sessions, whether it's at our conference or another conference. And then about halfway through, I'm going to draw a couple names randomly for a Starbucks gift card. So you might want to fill it out. And you actually get something for doing that. And then there's also a handout that Rebecca has. It's like a one or two pager. And the reason for that, you will see in your book of the big conference book, some of the sections say C handout. And we were not able to print everything we wanted to. We had to keep it to a minimum. So we're giving you a handout on some definitions. Just we had to keep it to two pages for the booklet, so there's an extra handout. So please raise your hand if you don't have a card. Rebecca, there's two or three here, and two up here, and one back there. Rebecca, there's a few up here in the front, and then one in the back. Okay, so I'll get started while Rebecca's finishing passing that out so we can keep on time. My name is Beth Fearless, and I am a educational consultant, academic professional, regional representative, whatever you want to call us. I have been in education for about 20 years as a special ed teacher, an administrator, principal, testing coordinator, dean of faculty, you name it. I'm sure you all have about 10 different titles too. And about a year and a half ago, I decided to get out of the classroom, but not fully out of the classroom, and testing was one of my favorite things. So that's why I decided to join ERB, and I have a territory of 7 states in the Southwest, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, that area. And then Rebecca Kraft, she was an educator for many years and has been with ERB for about 3 years, 3.5. She was also a head of school, teacher, you name it. But she now has the territory of Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Oklahoma, maybe a couple others. And Nebraska, yes. Nebraska, I'm from Omaha. Thank you for being here. Oh, okay. Well, yes, thank you. Okay, so it's right there. I didn't have to, pull that out. Okay. So thank you all for coming, and we are just going to do the housekeeping thing right now, which is the little card that you have. Again, I mentioned what it was for. If you could pick that up or fill that out, I'm going to come around when Rebecca is speaking about the actual portal, when she goes into it to show you some reports. I will come by and pick that up, and then we'll kind of do a mid-break and pull the name out. So, Rebecca, if you want to come up, we're going to start. We're going to kind of pass off. I'm going to do a little bit. She's going to do a little bit. And I'll switch places with you, Rebecca. But you then can come up and start your session. So she's going to give you a little history on ERB. And go into a little bit of information, and then I will start on the terminology section, and that's where you can see the handout, and that's where we'll help you keep coordinated to what you should be looking at.
Well, we do welcome you and excited that you are excited about learning more about ERB. And in case you don't know the history, I always think it's worthwhile in making certain that the association of the testing company that you're using is has been around a while, and ERB has. It was begun in the late 1920s, and it began to say we need something that is rigorous and strong enough in the academic area so that we can look at the students as they are entering our schools and as they are achieving as we go through our schools. And so our flagships have always been the admission and then the achievement components, which is going to be our focus for today. But what we are excited about is that we have wonderful membership schools such as yours. And one of the reasons we want to hear back from our member schools, and we get groups together to give us feedback, and there's one such group meeting right now in New York, looking at what will be the next CTP as it might look in the math sections. So anyway, you are vital to us for us to maintain what we need to do and do what is right for each of you. So today, we're going to give a brief overview of the CTP, look at some data reports. We're also then going to look on the portal itself. So if you have any questions about negotiating that portal, finding your reports, talk about some of the reports that can give you different types of glances at the information. Okay, excuse me. And then if we have time, we'll also talk about some other services. Thank you. So, what is about the CTP overview? You know, it's interesting, as you think about an assessment, you look at the assessment itself, and then you look at the data, the information that it can give you. And so, first of all, if we look at that information, we believe that we have some of the most robust informational data points or reports that you can get. And as we look at these, I think that you can see what you can get. We have the various norms that Beth will be discussing. We can look at how the curriculum might be against other independent schools and other as a norm of ACCS, which we have available. We can look at how can we help individual students improve their performance because we know the sections, the areas in which they need improvement. And I'm always saying to schools, if you don't use an assessment to inform and improve your curriculum, instruction, and student performance, is it worth it, the time and the money, for you to give it? And I believe that what you can find from the assessment will help you. So the reports and the data are what you get. So what do we have at the beginning of it? And I'm sorry this is not showing up here on the parts of the arrow. But what we have in the assessment itself is the verbal section and the quantitative and mathematics. We have, which is different from most assessments that I know, reasoning sections for both the verbal and the quantitative. Then we have what you would call the achievement. And somebody, what's the difference? Well, the reasoning is thinking about what is the capacity, what is the capability of the students in that area. And so then you can go back and look at how the student performs in their reasoning and looking at their achievement. Is it matching? Is it close enough? Is that what we expected it to be? So we have the reasoning, and then under the verbal sections, depending on if you're starting in grade 1 or all the way up to grade 11, you could have word analysis in the young grades. You could have auditory comprehension. Moving on up to vocabulary, reading comprehension, of course, our writing mechanics and a writing process and skills, which is not a direct writing, but is an analysis of writing, of good writing. And then we have the quantitative, and then we have the math achievement. And we also have an Algebra 1. So if you do give have a complete course of algebra, then you can use that part of the assessment. Now, what is interesting is that this is the only curricular, course that we have a standard assessment for. Online assessment, which we now have both paper and pencil, and online, science can be taken online. And we'll also talk about some of the content standards manual and how you can find all of these standards. Beth will be talking a little bit about that, and then we'll be able to look as well on the portal to see that. As I mentioned, we have these two modalities. And so the online is what we call form or router adaptive. So after a few questions on each of the sections, it will help the student focus more clearly on the level where he is, and it gives a better indication of the achievement level of that student. You can do a lot of flexible schedule, and you have immediate story. The paper and pencil is still with us, and we're not going to be abandoning those schools. And most of you can say, all right, I can pull that file folder out of my desk that I've used for so long and use that scheduling. One of the things that ERB provides is a quick table of each grade level, each assessment, and the time it takes for that. So it's an easy a schedule maker, if you will. Paper and pencil, of course, you've got to get it to the scoring operations center, and then it will be available within 15 to 20 business days. It's usually available in 2 weeks, but sometimes there's some pressure of the testing when many of our schools are doing their testing. So we have to at least be ready for it to be sometimes a 3-week process. One of the things that people say, is it formative, is it summative? Basically, it is the end of the term type assessment. However, because of the reports and because of the way you can look at the standards and you can look at the reports, you can really inform yourself. And so we call it that it is a way of being a formative assessment itself, not given several times throughout the year, but informing you enough about the curriculum, instruction, and student performance that you can really do something with it. Just don't post your scores. That is a travesty. We want you to be able to use this information, and we think that you can. And one of the good things about the ERB and its membership and the way it's set up is that there are 10 of us in the United States that are, as Beth and I, having our states available to email, I can't understand this report, I don't know what to do with this, call us, whatever. We are here to help you and help your school through the ERB. So, Beth is now going to start talking about the assessment data itself.
Okay, so I'm going to start with some terminology that you probably know, but sometimes when you get these reports, there's so many words on it, and it's like, well, do I look at the mean, the scale score, the canine, what am I supposed to look at? You have a handout with the very detailed definitions. But just quickly, I think we all know that the mean is the average of all the scores in a large group or a small group. Median, if you laid out 60 tests and you put them all out from the lowest score to the highest score, the one in the middle is the median. The scale score, these are raw scores that are converted into a fixed scale. So the fixed scale scores on the test levels, they're kind of adjacent at any level to the CTP. And regardless of the subject, they can be reasonably comparable. And the scale score is also the one that you can usually compare year to year if there has been growth. That would be the one that you would look at. And just to help you make a little bit more note, if you want to say, well, how do I know what an appropriate growth level is? Because we don't have those individual growth reports this year, if you notice that. if you really wanted to know if a child has made growth, in English language arts, reasoning, or achievement, you would want it to be about 6 to 8 points. And math, whether it's reasoning or achievement, you would want them to make about 8 to 11 points growth. That means they're kind of on the right track. There are no more handouts, I'm sorry. Then we have Stainine. Stainine is taking the scale score, it's taking that bell curve and it's kind of flattening it out, and it's taking it from 1 to 9. So you have the detailed definition there, but what it is, it's about 1, 2, and 3, maybe below average, 4, 5, 6, average, 7, 8, 9, above average. So if you have students in the 7, 8, 9, they're doing very, very well. 4, 5, and 6, they are fine, in my opinion. It depends on what parents or teachers you're dealing with. And then 1, 2, and 3, there's room for improvement. But it also depends, then, on what norms we're looking at. And we'll get there. So that's the Stainine. And then the content mastery, that's one more thing that we wanted to talk about. That compares a student to how, you know, the percent of content mastered. That has nothing to do with the percentile ranking. And I think a lot of people get that confused. But that is the percent of content mastered. So some of the reports that we'll show you will have percent content mastery, and it doesn't necessarily mean they got, you know, if they had like 83% of the content mastered. Each question in our assessment is weighted differently. So you don't know what each question is weighted, but that's how it's calculated. Some are easier, some are harder, worth more points, etc. Okay, so we'll talk about the norm groups, and this is probably what people seem to like the most about ERB, the CCP. It differentiates us a little bit more. We, you know, most of the people here probably use the Terra Nova, the Iowa test, the Stanford's, or the CCP. And with the CCP, you get a national norm. So every child from every walk of life in every type of religious affiliated school, public, private, Jewish, whatever, they are in this norm. And there's about 10,000 students in that norm that have taken ERB. And we paid, or we worked with ETS a while ago to get this norm. So that's the norm that you see on your reports for national, and we'll get there. The independent school norms, those are students that are in independent schools across the country, and we have some in other countries, who are taking this test, and they are in an independent school. They have to be in an independent school, and they have to be taking the CTP. Then we have association norms, which in the independent school norm, this is why I brought this book. Do you guys know this content standards mastery book? This is in your portal, and it's a PDF, unless you happen to have one of these old ones lying around. What you would do is you would flip to the section for the In the norm book, you would see how many students tested the frequency. It's going to be under frequency, and that's what that means. I do have the ACCS one. I printed that off, so I can kind of give you that information. But the students that test for independent, it's about 40,000 on average, 40 to 60,000 a year. And it also depends on grade level. So our biggest ranges are about third grade to eighth or ninth grade, because then they can start the PSAT and the SAT, and they kind of want to prep for that. But we do have a lot of students who start at first grade, and I think that's great. Those are consumable books, so might as well kind of see how they're doing too. So the association norms, we have an association norm for ACCS. Now, when you talk about norming, we have to have a big enough group. Usually about 500 is what psychometricians like to go with, is 500 or more, to make it be kind of valuable to have a norm, right? Because if you have under 30, then it's really tricky to have it just make sense to get a good norm. So that's what we have. And it's really good because we have other norms that are available, but with ACCS, we have them for ACSI. It depends on what association you're with, but we can put it on there if we have enough students who take the test. So we have reports specifically for administration. So if you need to go to a board meeting, if you needed to just kind of look overall at how your fourth grade did, at how your school did as a whole, we have certain reports for those. We have certain reports for teachers that want to see how did my fourth grade class do. You can play around in the portal and actually create a new class. It's not just the reports that you get back. You can make a new class, and we can show you how to do that. If you want to say, I want all of the females who joined, you know, who've been here consistently for 3 years. And if you're able to do that, you can make a new class to track some data in a different way. We have a few reports for parents that I will go over and show you the ones that we recommend that you send home. And then we have reports for parents or for students on an individual basis, which kind of look like the ones for students. And we want to really focus and remember that when we go do parent presentations, because you can ask us to talk to your parents for you, if it kind of takes you out of that hot seat, or when we do professional development days with faculty, we want to make sure that you understand that this is one snapshot. It's the word that we use a lot. This is one snapshot of a day in a child's life. It is not everything. So what these numbers represent to you, especially if you're an administrator or a teacher, this is what happened. This is not why it happened. And that's something you really need to take into consideration. So many teachers might ask, well, what am I missing? I feel like I'm not teaching well enough. I don't like the scores we have. What's wrong with my curriculum? There are so many questions that you have to go through and so many reports that you need to look at to really fine-tune what you feel are your areas to improve on. And so when you call us or you call your representative that you work with, they can help you go through those, and you start with this report, you start with that report, and you look and you kind of start to narrow it down. And you're like, seems like vocabulary is where we're struggling on a consistent basis. Doesn't mean your vocabulary is wrong, or you're not using it, or your program's not right, but those are things that you start to ask yourself if you see, you know, consistent things that go across. But we'll get to that. So here are some reports. I don't know if you guys are able to see this. Some recommended reports that we have for administrators and for teachers. There's the administrator summary, achievement reasoning, consistency analysis, the student roster, the content standards mastery, definitely one of our favorites. And we'll show you that. And the comprehensive individual student report, we'll go through that. For parents, individual instructional summary, the individual narrative, individual subscore, and the primary grade report. And so we're going to show you all these reports. And the quicker we go through this and we get to the portal, the more time you're going to have time to ask questions, too, if you want to, that we're not covering. So right now we're going to go through, Rebecca's going to go through a few of these reports, and then I will go through some additional ones. Is there any questions up to this point? Yes.
I just wondered, what was the number of students that
have taken the ACCS norm? The ACCS norm, I printed this off of the norms book, and this was the spring of 2015, so the students that just tested. There are about, now see, it really differs, but for first grade, it's about 2,000. For third grade, it's about 3,000. I mean, the approximate number for what it does is it actually gives a number per grade level per subtest, and it tells you how many students tested for ACCS. It's about 25 to 2,800 on average. And this is in the norms book, which is on the CTP portal, page 17, if you really want to find it. So I'm going
to
look.
And we'll show you how to get there on the portal in a few moments.
This is one of the reports that I think that all administrators want to be certain that they look at, and that's why it's called the administrative summary. When I go through the portal, when we get there, I'm going to show you three reports from that time that sort of give a broader view, then a curricular view, and then a student view. But this one is one that really captures a lot for administrators. You can see that at the top here, you have various let me see if I can fix it. You have the percentiles of each 90th. We're not just looking at the mean, but we can stop at the 90th, the 75th, the 50th, the 25th, and the 10th. Your scale score for those will then be interpreted nationally, suburban, independent. You can see where you are in all of those at those various percentile rankings. What is so interesting, as an administrator, when I did this the first time, I said, my goodness, we're doing wonderful with those kids at the 10th, the 25th, and at the 50th percentile. We were having them higher than they in our classes at those other norms. Where were we not stretching our kids as much? At the upper level. So sometimes if you're saying my 90th percentile in my class is not as strong in those other areas, this then lets you know, okay, what are we doing instruction-wise and curriculum for differentiation? Wonderful one to consider. You have this particular graph and information for every test and subtest. So verbal reasoning, and then it goes through all of those particular, as we said a while ago, you can go vocabulary, reading comprehension, those that I mentioned, every one of them. And another thing that is so graphical, and I would often take some of these out and put on a PowerPoint without names, classes, or whatever, of course, and be able to show visually what the same norm group looks like. What the same class scale scores look like if those are put nationally and one of your schools would well be over here with just a few schools in the that lower state 9 group. Here would be the suburban, but because of a more competitive group and a smaller group, you're not going to have them all at the top end. It's a visual that often can be used to see how different norming groups will look with the same group of students. One other thing that's always important to me on this particular report is any bell curve, you're expecting that a certain number of percent of the class would be above, in the 7, 8, and 9, certain percent would be in the average, certain percent of the class would be at the below, 23%, 54, and 23. You can see sometimes, am I making certain I have enough of my class in the upper end? It's, again, a visual but a realistic view. Now, of course, if you have only a few students, you have to be very careful with that percentage. But still, it gives you a wonderful view. Great report. It's called the Administrator Summary, and it has one for every grade, for every test and subtest. This is a report called a student roster, and it's going to have on the student roster about six of the students at a time. And many times you just sort of need to be able to quickly find a student and all of the information that you can put. And you can put every norm. You could choose as many as you want across there. Well, I'm not saying as many as you want. I think maybe they're limited to four. That's usually plenty. And you have your Lexile and Quantile if you would like that. And you can have this glance and then for the labels that you would want to have, if you still print labels for your permanent records, this little profile is what would come up when you go to labels in your reports. This is what would be printed as you choose to go on that permanent record, or that would be kept for posterity as you would maybe put those into your electronic reports as well. This is called the student roster. And this is a blow up of that, as I said, would become perhaps a label as you would put that in there. Beth's going to talk a little about parent reports before we go to the portal.
Okay, so the parent reports are something that I also like to call just the individual student reports. But there are ones that we suggest that can go home, and then we also have a parent guide that can go with it. So to get started, I'm sorry if this isn't big enough for you to see, but if you want to reach out to your academic professional, please do so, and they will go through this with you to be able to see it a little bit clearer. This is called the individual narrative report, and then the next one that I'm going to show you which is the individual subscore report. They look very similar, but I'm going to tell you the differences. So here we have the individual narrative report. We have the verbal reasoning. Then we have vocabulary, comprehension, writing mechanics, writing concepts and skills, right? So those are the subtests that fall under verbal reasoning. Thanks, Rebecca. We have the quantitative reasoning, and then we have the math 1 and 2. We can also have algebra if the student would have taken algebra. So then we have the scale score of how the student did. And then we have the three different norm groups, or four different norm groups, actually, for this student. We don't have the ACCS data, but we wanted to show you that that's what it would look like should you choose to have this show up on the one that can go home. Now, remember what Rebecca said is the National Suburban Independent ACCS. You can play around with what you want to show up on the ones that you send home. So if you're like, ooh, I want, you don't have to have that one go home. You don't have to have it show. But it's a good internal check for you all to know how you are doing. And that's the biggest thing, I think, when people question whether we should do testing or question why are we doing the CTP? Because it's the most rigorous test that's out there. If you take one of the others, everybody's in the 80th percentile and it looks wonderful, right? But the reason that a lot of people do choose the CTP is because it's going to give you a very realistic shot of not only how they're doing in the national norm group, but how they're doing in the suburban, and I'm going to explain that suburban here in a second. Independent, that is the most rigorous type of independent school that in the country that might be a really drill and kill school, you know, that they just push academics and everybody's going to an Ivy League school, but they're in that group. So you just have to remember that they're in there. And then there's the ACCS norm, which has about 2,800 students, and so you can see how your students are doing. When you look at the percentile rank, for example, in the national norm, the student had a 67% for verbal percentile rank, which equated to a 69. When you go to the suburban, that went to a 40th percentile, and you might be going, I thought suburban was usually a lower score than the national. The reason the suburban is higher is because that is a very small population at this point, and it is usually for gifted programs in the public schools. The norm is very small, and it's something that you should maybe even want to consider taking off your reports because it's really for those who are in gifted programs, and it's a very small number. So it's kind of hard to even say that that's something to compare your students to. Yes.
In particular, over the last several years, we found this to be true. And primarily, the suburban schools that we know are on both coasts of the area. So, for instance, I do not think there is a suburban school in Texas that's in our group. With the oncoming of state testing, you know, they have to make choices. And so basically, suburban schools, as Beth said, they put that choice down to the IB or gifted. So,
yeah, it is. And it's kind of misleading unless somebody's really told you that. And then they have the independent school norm, which you can see, you can have a conversation with the parents. It's very difficult, right? They're doing 67% percentile ranking in the national norm group, and then they go to the 17th percentile. And they're like, well, why am I paying you all this money? And you're going to get that question. And you have to say, we are compared to, you know, thousands and thousands of students in all types of schools, and this is how they're doing. And we feel that it's important that we put this on here so we have a reality check and you have a reality check. Because you might have parents that say, I mean, what if we gave them a C9 of, you know, a 6 or 7, 8 or 9 all the time for national norm? And that's really not who they're competing against if they want to go into schools, right? If they're competing for scholarships, if they're, you know, I'm not saying every child is doing that, but if they are, you have some information here to give to mom and dad and say, this is real life, and that's okay. And I'm also okay as a parent and as a teacher to say, for the national, my student is at a 6-9, which is average. I'm definitely okay with that. So parents will make their own decisions how they feel. But those are ways that you can kind of help I don't know, make it, it's not making it sound better, but it's actual reality. You know, that's okay. I know, I need to move quickly. The bottom part of this is the range of the box is from where the diamond is where the student fell in verbal reasoning. And the box is kind of like a range of any given day they could fall between this. Because if you gave it to them tomorrow, they're having a better day, it could have gotten a little bit worse. This is my favorite one to give parents. This is what I suggest that they give. This is the individual subscore report. This gave the same information that I went over. But here at the bottom, you have every single subtest. The dot is where they fell. And then at the end of that yellow bar, this is something that's very important that schools sometimes don't realize, is this the norm group in this red rectangular box in the middle of my screen that's going horizontal. This is the norm group for independent schools. You can actually change that. You can have it be the national, you can have it be the association, or you can have it be the independent. But at the end of that bar, that is the average independent student. That's the average. So there are independent students that did better. But that bar right there where that red light is at 75%, that is where the average independent student fell. So that median that we talked about, or the mean, that's if you line them all up, that's where it is. And then that student was just a little bit farther below compared to all of the other independent children. This is the individual instructional summary. This goes into... it's per student. It goes into every single subscore. It tells you how many students tested in the group, how many questions they were presented, how many they attempted. This is the percent of content mastery. And then it gives you the grade, the suburban public, or the independent average percent content mastery. So this is another report that you can look at on an individual basis. This might be something for a parent conference, one-on-one, when you really want to dive in deep. This is for the little ones. For the little ones, this is just one screenshot, but it's about 3 pages long. And we test auditory comprehension, reading comprehension, word analysis, writing mechanics, and math. And how it's graded is exceeds, meets, or develops. Okay? Independent. Okay, this is one student report that I'm going to show you, probably good for a parent conference. Maybe you like to send it all home if you wanted to. But this report, you know, the ones I showed you up here, this is one sheet. It's easy for parents, right? I think it's the easiest one for them to grasp and understand. There's also a parent guide that goes home that can tell you about that one. This one is the comprehensive individual student report. There are like 5 or 6 reports within this one. And yet they all kind of say the same thing. So this is what the label looks like that Rebecca went over, the top part of the one that I went over. The next page is how many questions, how many did they attempt. You can see if they didn't answer them all. The average percent of content mastery. This is the same one of the dot that you saw, percent of content mastery. Where did they fall? This is the same thing for page 2. And then this is the percentile rank in the national norm. Now, this is one that's different. Now, remember, this is all in one report in the portal, okay, the Comprehensive Individual Student Report. This one will show you 3 years of data for a child. It does not have the growth report anymore that we show you, yes, they made growth, and it has this diamond, right? This you actually have to kind of do the math a little bit, but you can see, okay. In 2011, on the far right, the student had a standout of 3. And then in 2012, they had a standout of 4. And in 2013, they had a standout of 6. Now, while this is in the progression in the right way, if you go down to maybe the bottom, they went from a 6 to a 4 to a 6. Does that mean the middle year what happened? What's wrong with our curriculum? You also have to factor in that norm group for that year is totally different. The group of students taking that test is totally different. There's a lot of things that you have to consider when you start looking at your data. But you can see that the scale score, or the scale score of 351, 353, 369, are they still making progress? Yes. So just because the standout went down doesn't necessarily mean that the student isn't making progress.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Last thing.
There's a question.
Oh, sorry. No. It's just factored into that whole.
Yeah, it's factored in.
Yeah. If any of you don't know, constructive response is a different option of an answer document. You can choose just straight bubbles, or you can choose to pay a little bit more where the student has to show their work. And then we have leaders who actually go through the math problems or go through whatever to show their work, and that's something they have to do. And that's what she means by constructive response. The content standard manual, this is online as a PDF. If you have questions and your teachers say, well, what is a question in, I don't know, probability, even though that's one we all kind of know, they can go to the actual grade level. They can go to a sample question. So every subset, if your teachers are like, I don't even know what that is, what types of questions, that's in here. It's in your portal on a PDF. And then I also mentioned that there's a parent guide that is in your portal that you can print out and maybe give it parent night or whenever, however you distribute your scores to go home. Measure progress real quick. They're the company that does our score reports. So we send them in. We've worked with them forever. That's where you send them. So when you want to say, well, where are my scores, or the CTP operations that you're calling, that number, that 866 number, you're calling measure progress. Okay, so now we're going to go into the CTP portal.
Any questions while Bell is going to the portal?
You're both.
Yeah, you're both. But what I do in working with schools, because the world hears about the national norms, and if you've been a Stanford school or ITBS or Terra Nova or whatever, you want to show your national norms. I mean, because that's the base that most everyone's looking at. So I'm always saying, look at the national norms. I then encourage my schools, if they're even moving for the first time, to go ahead and share the independent norms at that particular time. Some schools say, well, I'd like to go ahead and show just the national. It's a more rigorous test. I'm going to show just the national. I'm going to use the independent for a couple of years as we look at curriculum, and I'm going to show you as we go here about that. And so it depends on you and your school. But I always would show the national. My preference would go ahead and start educating the parents about the independent, and then you can decide whether to put the norm of the ACCS on there or not. As I said, some of them are used for internally so you get the information you need.
While Rebecca starts with the portal, can all of you pass your cards to the end of the right or stage right? Left, right. That way.
I wanted to show you first before we actually sign in. It's on this top. There's also some things that you can always see on the outside of the portal. If you're going online, the system check. There's some frequently asked questions, and there's some demonstration tests. They're for online, but they're sample questions as well, and it's just sometimes something that you might want to see. So then, if you are designated as a CTP purchasing coordinator, you get a login from Measure Progress, from the CTP operations, and then you're able to design other users. So we want to go on in and see if we can click to sign in here. And what you have over here is the table of contents. And it's interesting right here. We're going to stay in a couple of places today primarily. But as we both said, call your academic professional or make certain that you play around in here, because we want to show you particularly this wonderful section of health and resources. But I want to go to one place before we go to a report. And some of you may not know how to
it's not the word manipulate. That sounds like you can change your data. How to change the reports to look like you want them to select your norms. And that is found in, if I can get my find my cursor, here. That is found in the test administrations. So you open that, and there is a report choices, norms, and measure selections. And so you just then come over here to edit, and you determine what norms you want for which reports. And this is the thing that is you want for your parent reports, or you want for you to see. And one of the things that I like about reports online so much is that you can get together in a room of a grade level, and you can bring up the group instructional summary that I'm going to show you in a minute, and you can work with that group of teachers without printing out a lot of things. So it's really exciting that you can bring these reports up. You can tweak them, see which one you want, and before you ever had to. And when we went with the mailing, and you had to decide ahead of time, once printed and you received them, guess what? It was it. If you wanted anything reprinted, it cost a fortune. I mean, you know, because that was the way it was. This is really working beautifully. So I'm now then going to go to the reports section. And I love the way that Beth always says it. It's sort of like you look at sort of chapters or headings. We have different types of reports. So you, first of all, you've got to make certain you are looking at the test administration you want. You're over, you, if you've been a tester for 3 years and you just finished spring, you will have the 15, the 14, and the 12. So you will have your past. So you can go back and look at this. This is wonderful just in all of these reports. So first of all, you want to make sure your test administration is there. Then you're going to have the choice of saying, do I want to look at individual reports, group reports, roster, a data download? Don't skip the data download. We won't be talking about that today particularly, but there is an explanation in that. And someone was telling us yesterday at the booth that they had brought up each individual student's report and for the parent, I guess, and printed it individually. Data download, guess what you can do? You can download them and then hit that printer and they'll all come out. So there are some shortcuts through data download. Don't forget it, but we won't go through that today. So then you choose, if I'm going to choose individual reports, then I have all of these to choose from. Then if I want up here, if I want group reports, I have these from which to choose. And if I'm going to choose the roster, and that's where you're going to list of individual students on that, I'm going to choose roster, then I'm going to have these reports. So think about first, what am I considering? I'm going to start on this particular time on a group report, and I'm going to print what is called the median percentile report. Excuse me. There we go. This is one that is great for an overview. Whenever I talk and work with schools, I always say, each report, we need to ask questions. Don't make great statements of fact or decisions when you see a report. Don't go, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. I've got to do that. Ask questions. Keep digging until you find what you need to do with that. So we're going to, I'm going to choose a fifth grade level, just one. I'm going to run this report. If you wanted them all, it's one page for each grade level. So it's not a terrible. So we're generating this PDF right up here. Hoping it's going to work. Okay, here are my little circles going around. Here it drops down, and then I just bring it up. So what do I have here? This is an overview of one grade with the reasoning and then the achievement. So what happens here, this little first
bar is the school. And we have our demonstration school, the Chanticleer Country Day. This, the scale score, the median scale score of this particular grade was put on the national scale. So the 50th median 50th person in the middle of this grade is not 50th nationally, but what? 79th. Then it shows you what was the 50th person, the median in the suburban. They were 75th, so your school was higher. The median independent school was an 89. So you're not right up with where the independent would be in this big overview. So you can see quickly how you fare. I would say right offhand that this school is pretty strong in its mathematical program. Both the reasoning and the achievement, quite strong there. Really higher than the independent was doing. What we might want to say here is that the reasoning, verbal reasoning, was pretty average or pretty consistent with the reading comprehension and writing concepts, but the writing mechanics and vocabulary were a little stronger. So as an administrator, I might say, okay, I want to look, first of all, verbal reasoning. Am I helping my kids think of the big constructs, the more abstract thoughts in verbal reasoning? Maybe we need a little work there. Or maybe I need to see about my reading comp, because the writing concepts and skills is reading, writing, and responding to questions. So from this, guess what I would ask? Okay, what about verbal reasoning? And what about my reading comp? I would start with questions. Not necessarily that I've got all the answers yet. This is the big view that an administrative curriculum group could start with. Any questions about this report? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Median percentile. Right here. Median percentile report. One for every grade. Yes. That is the 50th of the median of the national. That red line, good question. The red line is the median of the national. Yes. Which should be. But anyway, all right, so that's where I thought to start, okay? Then I, as administrator, go often to the administrative summary. Remember that one that we looked at a few minutes ago? Those are the big overviews that I start asking my questions. Now, I would go back to one that I would want to start looking. I never can find my cursor. There we go. I want to start looking at curriculum. So I'm going to go back so I can look, and I'm going to choose a group report, and I'm going to choose the group instructional summary, and I'm going to choose fifth grade. It will be a one-pager. It will be looking at how this fifth grade group did as a group and how it compares with the independent. And this is what Beth was talking about, the mastery of content. It is not like I missed 8 out of 10 and I made 80. Because of the 8, I didn't miss them, I got 8. I could have some that were very easy, some that were hard, and those are weighted. It's based on an item response theory. But anyway, so this lets us know the prediction on what a child, how that child performed on each of these standards. The prediction of the number correct and the difficulty is that she would have done this mastery if taken all of the items of that grade level in this area. Okay? Now, what we have now is the mean of the grade. So right here, you have the mean of the grade, and they repeat it here. So this, and I know you can't see these, or I'm sorry, they're so small. But for instance,
the gentleman needed to borrow our other microphone to the other room, so we're apologizing. But I want to show you. You read across,
and what you can do is look at your mean mastery and the independent mean mastery. That will help you say, how close am I to that mastery? You know, you might say, you may be extremely close in vocabulary because you have a wonderful vocabulary program. You may be higher in reading because your reading is really in depth. Your reading program of all of the classics that your folks are reading could put your reading comprehension above. We might be lower in some other areas. This gives you an opportunity to say, where am I pretty level with the independent? And you could choose the ACCS. Where am I higher? Where am I lower? And what gap do I think is significant for me to do something about? Again, questions. When I worked with teachers on grade levels, we then could say, okay, if there's a lot of gap on everything and we're lower than we want, we have to start choosing. Another thing, look at this across grade levels. If you find consistency lower gap in writing mechanics, and let's say it's spelling, then you may say, oops, I need to look at my spelling program because it's across all of them. Do you see how you can use this for great discussions with your teachers? Okay, I think Beth wants to break. We're going to make our little...
One quick thing. She's going to pick two cards because I'm going to have to run, and I want to take these cards with me.
Okay. Mark Hoyt. And... Melissa Bell. Melissa?
Okay,
great. Beth has a plane to catch, and it's a little difficult, we're sorry. But anyway, so this is wonderful for curriculum. So this is what I would start using to do my curriculum work. The other that I love to show is the individual, and I want to show you what teachers will love if you're not familiar with this. The roster report, and I'm going to go to the content standards mastery. I'm going to go to level 5. I'm going to run report. I'm going to click that and generate the PDF here. What you will see here is same type of information that's on the group instructional summary that we just saw. However, it's then going to give a roster of the students of that class or grade. You can choose either, if you have several classes for grade level, you can choose and do it by class, or you can choose and do it by grade, however you want. But what you see here, I just love this. This is the class mean for the total of the verbal reasoning. This is analogical. This is categorical. This is logical reasoning. Here is the class mean for analogical. I always tell my schools, take that. And what happened to my little pointer here? It seemed like it's gone out on me. But let's see. Immediately see who is below the mean in your class. You can immediately see who is higher. You can differentiate according to analogical, categorical, and logical. You can also see across and see that dear Ariane is low in all of them. So this is a wonderful, wonderful report for teachers and differentiation and helping the student learning. Remember I said earlier, you've got to look at, and it's about time to go, if you've got to look at your
curriculum and instruction and student performance. And these reports can really help you do that. So I'm going to quit. And I'm sorry, there's just so many reports. Did you see how many were on those drop-down menus? Yes, sir. Good question. His question was, is math particular based on the Common Core? Our standards were taken from the National Council of Teachers Math, National Council of Teachers English, the rigorous standards. We have not taken and developed our testing on a particular curriculum. Now, we did a crosswalk, and it's on our website to say that if you do Common Core, our assessment would be appropriate. You know, most assessments must or should match your curriculum to about 80%, because, you know, if only you would design an assessment that could match your curriculum totally, right? And then you wouldn't have a norm group. So, but basically, it is not based on Common Core, but I know a lot of our schools who are looking at Common Core just to see how it might fit or not, but not going with Common Core. Any other questions? I will be here. I'm going back out to the booth when I get through. If you have any questions, please let me know. And we're just so thankful that you are interested in ERB. And if you want to talk with Beth or me, you can call or email us or look on the website for the academic professional in your state area. Thank you.
Hello, how are you? Rebecca Crail.
Hi, David.
I have read about you, but never actually met you. So it's so nice
to
meet
you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure. I'm going to the NOMS conference in Fort Worth. Are you familiar with that conference?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's the National Association of University Model Schools.
Oh.
And so you've got all sorts of ACCS schools. You've got one. Got the traditional, right, whatever.
Yeah, so there are some university model schools in our system.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's hard to see in here. Here we go. Okay, I think I can see. I believe that's all that I have over here.
Call Thomas Spencer.
Lunch or surprise, or do you get a certain one?